us, Lord, to be able to focus on nothing else but Your Word. And Lord, I ask that You would help me to say the things that I need to say, Lord, to be able to preach with Your power and with Your boldness, Lord, and that Your work would be done this morning. We love You, Father. In Your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in Exodus chapter number 35. And I don't believe we have any visitors this morning, and for once in my life, I'm a little thankful we don't have any visitors. And the reason being is that tonight's good night. See, last week, my family being here confused me. This week, Brother Hudson being here confused me. And this morning, good night. Okay, this morning sermon is really more for Verity Baptist Church. And I want to explain a few things and go over a few things with you. And many of you know, we already kind of talked about it, whether you know it or not. Our church finds itself this morning in the midst of a building project. And so often in projects like this, you know, a few carry most of the burden of the work. I've often heard of the 80-20 rule. Have you ever heard of the 80-20 rule? The 80-20 rule is this: 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that's normally how it works in business and in churches and in things like that. But you know, oftentimes people don't get involved. They don't get involved in the work of the ministry. And a lot of times it's not that they don't want to, it's that they don't know what they can do. They ask questions like, well, what can I do? Or in what way can I help? And you know, I'm always amazed how God covers everything that we will ever go through in our lives is covered in Scripture. And God teaches us in Scripture how we ought to deal with it, including a building project for a church. I just want to go through some scriptures this morning. And we read there a famous passage, Exodus 35, about the building project there that the children of Israel had. And I just want to tell you that God has given us a biblical example for a building project. And I'd like to just challenge you from the scripture this morning and give you a few ideas and a few pointers on what you can do, how you can help, what you can offer, and the things you can do. And you got to understand, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, and I don't want to delve too much into it, but do you remember on Wednesday night we talked about how the children of Israel in the wilderness represent the church today? In the book of Acts, it refers to them as the church in the wilderness. And today, you and I, remember, they were the congregation there, and they were in the wilderness, which represent Egypt, and the wilderness represent the world there. And before they went into the promised land, they were that church in the wilderness. Today, you and I are the church, the congregation, in the wilderness. We haven't yet gone into our spiritual promised land, our spiritual Canaan land, which is heaven. And we're right now just kind of like the children of Israel, just wandering in the wilderness. Hopefully, we have a little less murmuring than they did. And hopefully we have a little more, of a purpose than they did. But this church, these people here represent the church. And here's what I want you to understand, just so you get the context. Moses had gone up to the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. Remember, God gave him the Ten Commandments. And God had also showed Moses that He wanted him to build a tabernacle. All right. Now, there's a tabernacle in heaven. I don't have time to go through it and explain to you, but there's a tabernacle in heaven. And God literally allowed Moses to see the tabernacle in heaven. And He said, I want you to build a replica of this. If you've been with us just any length of time, you may have learned that all of the stuff in the Old Testament that we study, all of those sacrifices and the tabernacle and the different things, they're all a picture of literal things to come. Well, that tabernacle literally exists in heaven. That Holy of Holies and the Ark of, you know, and all those things, and when they would sacrifice that lamb and they would walk into the Holy of Holies and they would sprinkle the blood seven times, the Lord Jesus Christ literally did those things in heaven with His own blood after He died. And I know that's more information than I want to go into this morning. But I want you to understand that God had showed Moses this tabernacle. And He given him measurements and instructions. And He said, this is what I want you to build, Moses. And He gave Moses a building project for the congregation. They're the children of Israel. And when He began that, the Bible says there in chapter 35, look at verse 4, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying. And He said, take ye from among you an offering. And I want you to understand this. You say, well, what can I do and how can I help? And we have here an example of this church in the wilderness building a tabernacle, building something for the glory of God. And you say, well, Pastor, are we building a tabernacle? No, that's Old Testament. We don't do that today. But let me tell you something. The principles found in the Bible apply to you and I today. And there are some lessons we can learn from these people when they came together to build that you and I can apply to today. You say, well, what can I do? I'm trying to give you some ideas. What can I do? Number one, you can offer your talents. You can offer your talents. I told you that. Look there at verse number 4, but skip down to verse number 10, Exodus 35. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says in Exodus 35, 10, and every, notice this, wise-hearted among you, you shall come, and notice this word, make all that the Lord hath commanded. Now you see a semicolon there? That means that the next few phrases have to do with that verse. Verse 11. He said, if you're wise-hearted, you're going to come together and you're going to make. He said, well, what are we going to make? Here's what you're going to make. The tabernacle, his tent, and his coverings, his thatches, and his boards, his bars, his pillars, his sockets. He's got a list there of things they've got to accomplish and things they've got to do. He says, you're going to make the ark and the staves thereof, and the mercy seat, and the veil of the coverings, the table and his staves, and all his vessels, and the showbread, and the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps, and the oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his staves, and his anointing oil, and his sweet incense, and the hanging of the door of the entering of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with his brazen grates, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, the hangings of the door and the courts, the pins and the tabernacles, the pins of the court and their cords, the cloths of service to do service in the holy places, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister in the priest's office. Now here's what I want you to understand from that. The biblical pattern when it comes to building is not necessarily to, you know, just go, hire a general contractor to do the work for you. You understand that when God told the children of Israel to build the tabernacle, He says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to make people who've got, you're going to grab people who have wisdom, and they can make things, and they're going to come together, and they're going to work. And he's like, well, what are we going to make? And he said, well, let me give you a list. Here's the thing that we got to do. And what you got to understand is that God was asking these people, He said, some of you have talents, some of you have ability, some of you have things that you can do and skills that you have, and you ought to use it. You say, well, what can I do? Pastor Bennett, I'd like to help with the building project. What can I do? The first thing you can do is offer your talents. You say, well, what does the word talent mean? It means your ability, your aptitude. Some of you have skills that I don't have. I can't frame a window in to a mother baby room, but Brother Ron can. You know, I can't build a wall, but Brother Hudson can. You know, Brother Vincent, Brother Jimenez, you know, Brother Jose, everybody, Brother Ivan, everybody showed up, so nobody feels left out. But what I'm trying to say is, everybody has skills, and people have things that they can do, and things, you know, that I may not be able to do, you may not, but we all, but here's what God didn't say, you know, there's going to be one person who's going to do all the work, there's going to be 20% of the congregation. God said, I want everybody to figure out what job they can do, and they come together. He said, some of you do this, some of you do that, but he said, all the congregation offered up their talents, their ability, their aptitude. And let me tell you something. If you have an ability to do something, God gave you that ability primarily to be used for Him. Do you understand that? You're there in Exodus 35. Look at verse number 25. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, Exodus 35 and verse 25, the Bible says, scratch that. Go to Exodus chapter number 35. Look at verse number 30. I want you to see verse 30. Look what it says. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribes of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Now keep your finger there in Exodus 35, and go back with me to Exodus chapter number 31. Exodus chapter number 31, and I'd like to show you something. In Exodus 31 is when Moses first came down from the mount. And in Exodus 31, if you look at verse, oh, I'm sorry, not when he came down from the mount, but he's up in the mount talking to God. And if you look at Exodus 31 and look at verse number 1, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel. Now, here's interesting, okay? God says to Moses, I have called by name. He says, I'm calling an individual, this man, Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And you say, what is he calling this man to do? Is he going to be a great prophet? Is he going to be a great preacher? See, you and I often, we think, you know, we have this idea. Well, only the only people that are called of God are the men that stand up with the Word of God and preach and thunder and scream and yell. And the rest of us can't be filled with the Spirit of God. But look what he says. He says, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Look at verse 3. And I have filled him with Spirit of God, is a Spirit-filled man in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Look what it says, verse 4. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. Don't miss that. Did you just notice what the Bible says? The Bible says that God filled a man with His Spirit and gave him wisdom and understanding to do this, work with certain materials. Gold, silver, and brass. And let me tell you something. I believe, and if this sounds arrogant, I apologize. I don't mean it to sound arrogant. But I believe that God gave me the aptitude and the ability to be able to preach and teach God's Word. And if I don't do that with my life, I'd be living my life in disobedience with God. You say, well, I don't have the ability to preach. Yeah, but you have other abilities. You have other things you can do. And God has given you those abilities just as much as He's given me those abilities. And if I refuse to use those abilities for Him, and you just say, it's the same sin. You understand that? You say, well, no, you don't understand, Pastor. Construction, or building, or HVAC, or carpeting, or whatever. That's just what I do for a living. No, that's just an unintended consequence. God gave you that ability to be used for Him. He allows you to use that for other things. Do you see what I'm saying? Being able to speak and communicate helps me in the business world, but I believe God gave me that ability to be used for His glory here. And you say, well, God gave, you know, let's just face it, not everybody's mechanical. Not everybody knows, you know, just has the ability to look at something and be like, oh, we can do this, we can do that, you know. I watch these guys argue about, you know, let's do this, and I'm thinking to myself, whatever, I'm just do it, you know. Not everybody has that aptitude. But if God's given you that, God's given you that, you say, well, He gave me that so I can work a job. No, He gave you that so you can use it for His glory. And He just allows you to use it. And the rest of your life. The Bible says these were Spirit-filled men. Look what it says. Look at verse 3. And I have filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them in the carvings of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, look what it says, that they may make that I have commanded thee. God says, I brought the right people to you to be able to do the work that I commanded you to do. Well, I thought only Moses needs to be Spirit-filled so he can lead them as a pastor. No, everyone needs to be Spirit-filled in whatever God has called you to do. And I don't think it's a coincidence that our church is overflowing with people who know how to, you know, build and know how to hammer. And know, I don't think that's a coincidence. Right around the time that we go get a building and we need to remodel it, God has given us people who know how to do that work. You say, well, it just happened to work out that way. No, God did that. God gave you that ability. God gave you that wisdom. God filled your spirit to do that work for Him. You say, what can I do, Pastor? You can offer your talents. You can offer your talents. Look at go back to Exodus 35. Look at verse 30 again real quick. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. Look at verse 31 again. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. It's a spiritual work to work for God. Understand this. It's a spiritual work to work. You say, I believe this, and I believe you can find it in the Scripture. Would God fill you with the Spirit to do a carnal job? You understand what I'm saying? God filled these men with the Spirit to build something. And I believe that these men were winning just as many rewards in heaven for using their talents to build a tabernacle as Moses was using his spiritual talents to lead the children of Israel. Let me tell you something. You show up to work, you know, last week, or you show up this week to do something for the church. I honestly believe that God looks at that work as spiritual as He looks at me preaching the Word of God right now. As He looks at us soul winning. Because it takes just as much of the Spirit of God to do something. Because here's the thing, you're doing it for His Spirit. You don't think that that's a spiritual work? Say, well, Pastor, all we're doing is we're putting up a wall and we're putting up doors and we're texting or not texting, you're not texturing. Some of you are texting, that's a problem. No, you're texturing and we're painting and we're putting carpet down, we're doing this. You say, that's not a spiritual work. Look, it's a spiritual work when we're getting a place ready to have people come in and say, hear the Word of God. You don't think that's spiritual? When we're getting a location ready to bring children in to be able to teach them God's Word and raise them in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. and have people disciple and have people grow and be able to impact this community. You don't think that's a spiritual work?
Say, but Pastor, I don't have the ability to preach. But you may have the ability to build. And let me tell you something. This is what you were created to do. You say, well, Pastor, what can I do? You can offer your talents. The purpose of church is not for one... Church is not a one-man show. Do you understand that? It's a congregation of people. It's a group of people coming together and saying, well, I can do that. I can take care of that. And we're focusing on building. So some of you later are thinking, well, he's just talking to the man. He just wants the men to show up. But look at Exodus 35. Look at verse 25. Look what it says. And all the what? Women that were wise-hearted. So see, it's not just wise-hearted men, it's wise-hearted women. Look what it says. Did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hairs. He said, what are they doing? Well, while the man picked up a hammer and said, hey, God's given me the ability to build, to work with gold and brass and silver, to do this and do that. The women said, well, we can get busy, because it was a tent, the tabernacle was a tent. They said, well, we can sew. Really? Yeah, I'm not being derogatory. That's what the Bible says. Well, we can start decorating. Well, we can clean. Well, we can do this. Look, let me tell you something. There's a job for all to do. And you'll be more blessed if you would say, Pastor, I want to help. Offer your talents. There's something you can do that I can't do. You say, well, are you going to ask them, look, I don't know what you can do. You need to step up and volunteer and say, hey, I can take care of that. I can do that. I believe that God will reward the work of someone offering their talent in a building project just as much as He'll reward any other spiritual work, because it's just as a spiritual work. He said they were filled with the Spirit of God. Often people have this excuse, well, I don't have any talents to offer. I don't have anything that I could do. Well, you're out of excuses too, because look at Exodus 35, look at verse number 34. And He hath put in His heart, look what it says, that He may teach both He and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, and the tribe of Dan. You say, well, Pastor, I'm an accountant. I don't even know an accountant here, so I'll use that as an accountant. I'm an accountant. I don't know how to sheetrock. That's okay. Someone will teach you how to do it. Just show up. We just need bodies. We just need manpower. Look, it doesn't take, you know, someone will teach you how to, you know, put the carpet down, or I think we can teach you how to sweep, you know. We might have to, there's a little, you know, tension there, but we'll figure it out. But we'll teach you how to do something. You know, no one has excuses like, well, I don't have anything to offer, I can't do it. Look, you don't know how to do anything, we'll teach you how to do it. You've got some talents and we'll get you working and we'll get you leading. You say, well, all I can do is wash windows, then wash windows. You say, you know, everybody has something they can do. You know what's one of the most important jobs for this building project? Say, what is it, Pastor? Some of you ladies to get together and make some lunches for these men as they're working. I've seen it firsthand. I start seeing the clock get late and these guys haven't ate, and you start seeing the tensions rise. You know, and I'm joking, but I'm not. But you know, that's a work. You say, well, hey, is that really spiritual? Is it spiritual to help feed men as they're working to build the church of God? And we understand the church is the people. But look, there's a job for everyone. You can offer your talents. To get this done, to get this project done fast, we're just going to need... You say, well, what do we need? We need people. That's what we need. We need more workers. We need people showing up. You say, well, what can I do, Pastor? You can offer your talent. Number two. Say, is there something else we can do? Well, number two, I said number one, you can offer your talents. Number two, you can offer your treasure. Say, what are you talking about? Go look at Exodus 35, look at verse number 5. Look what it says. Exodus 35, 5, the Bible says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hairs, and ram skins, and dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for an ephod, and for a breastplate. He says, look, we need an offering, and he said, here's what we need, and he gives him a list. And it's so interesting to see this, because if you skip down to verse number 20, Exodus 35 and verse number 20, I know today, this morning is more like a Bible study because we're going through this chapter, but look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and all, so Moses says, we're going to take an offering, and notice what he says, whoever's willing, so we're not going to force you to do anything.
said, whoever's of a willing heart, here's what we need. And he gives them a list. Look at verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. So they go home after this church service they had. And they came. Look what it says. Everyone whose heart stirred him up. And everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for his holy garments. And they came, look what it says, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hairs, and red skins, and rams, and badger skins, and brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. So they said, Moses said, here's what we need. And they said, okay. And here's what they did. They all went home and they remembered, oh, Moses said we needed this. And Moses said we needed that. Well, I've got that. I can bring. And they started bringing these things. And they went, here, can you use this? And here, can you use that? Look at verse number 27. And the rulers, so these were the people that had maybe a little more money. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for an ephod and for a breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for anointing oil and for sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. I want you to notice that the pattern in Scripture is that these people not only offered their talent and they said, I'm willing to do something, they also said, I'm willing to give something. And look, our church doesn't focus on money a lot, and I don't even really want to emphasize an offering, because we just recently took an offering for the van. But let me tell you something. If God has placed it in your heart to give something towards the building project, say, Pastor, when should I do it? Like, today. Soon. Now. Tonight. Wednesday. Say, is that what God wants? So look, He wants your talents, but He wants your treasure. There's something you can... And look, I'm not necessarily asking about money. But there's things that you may be wanting to give away or wanting to throw away. You know, we don't want your trash. You know, let it be in good condition. But, you know, there's things that you may want to offer that these people said, well, I can help with that. Well, I can do that. And they went back home and they said, well, we can offer this for the tabernacle. And we can offer this for... And look, something very interesting happened to the children of Israel that I don't think is very common in Scripture. If you look at Exodus chapter number 36, look at verse number 3. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. Look what it says. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. So Moses says, here's what we need. And the people said, well, I can help with that. And every morning they were bringing him stuff. Look at verse 4. And all the wise men that wrought, that word wrought means work, that worked all the work of the sanctuary, came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses. Wouldn't it be good if we had this problem? And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave, look what it says, and Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people, look what it says, isn't this interesting? So the people were restrained from bringing. Hey, wouldn't it be great if we had that problem? You know, last week I said something about, oh man, it'd be nice if we had a ping pong table. And I hope, I won't even mention a name just so I don't embarrass anybody. But somebody said to me, I was going to throw away a ping pong table, or I was going to donate a ping pong table, and I can do give you know, donate to the church. I'm like, praise the Lord. No, wouldn't it be good if I just showed up to the building and there was like four ping pong tables. I'm just like, it's too much, you know, and we got to restrain the people. You say, well, why was that? Why were these people so willing to work? And why were these people willing to give? The Bible tells us that where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. And you know what? You know the heart that says, hey, I'm willing to, you know, put in 6 hours, 8 hours, non-paid, by the way, to help construct the building. Hey, I'm willing to donate this and donate that and give this. Hey, let me tell you something. That's because your heart is in the hands of God. And these people, they said they saw a need, and they said there's a tabernacle. And they said this tabernacle is going to be used for the service of spiritual things, for spiritual matters. It'll be used in the service of between God and men. And they got excited about it. And they said, hey, I can help with this, and I can help with that, and I can do this, and I can do that, and I can give this, and I can give that. To the point where Moses had to say, it's too much. Stop bringing. We've got enough. Just go home. That's what he was saying. Would to God we'd have a church that would say, hey, pastor, it's not much, but I got this. You say, well, you're already almost halfway done. Do you really need help? Let me tell you something. We're halfway done. There's a lot of work to do. You say, well, you got it done in like 4 days. Yeah, we were working real hard. And when I say we, I mean they. You say, well, what still needs to be done? I just want to give you an idea of what needs to be done in the next week. Because nobody wants to come to church in the house anymore. Everybody wants to be in the building. But only a few people want to go out and roll up their sleeves and get dirty and work. And let me just give you an idea. You say, well, you think you'll be done in the next week? There must not be much to do. Let me give you a list of things that need to be done this week if we're gonna be done by this week, here's what we need to do. Alright, just so you get an idea. We need to drywall the entrance of the going into, if you've been in the building, this makes sense to you, maybe it doesn't. But there's an entrance going from the auditorium into the mother baby room and the bathroom area. That area needs to be drywalled. We need to use the putty to finish the drywall. I don't know what that's called. What's that called? Is there a name for that?
Drywall
compound, where you fix it all up and you get finish it, get it ready for a texture. We have a door that needs to go up. We have electrical wall sockets that need to be cleaned or maybe replaced. We have insulation that needs to go up in the mother baby room and ceiling tiles that need to go up in the mother baby room to be able to get that done. We have walls that need to be textured, and textured twice probably. We have painting that needs to be done. The entire place needs to just be thoroughly cleaned. I would imagine after we're done painting, go through and clean the whole building. We have trimming that needs to go up. And we're talking about molding up on the roof and a chair rail that's going to separate two tones of paint. Where this is going to look nice. Don't worry. We're not just throwing together some half-hearted thing. I mean, we want to do this. What was the verse in the bulletin? And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We're doing this to the Lord. And we want to make sure it looks good. We've got trimming that needs to go up. We've got a platform that needs to be built. We have things that need to be moved. We're going to have to move this pulpit to the building. You say, well, that's not that hard. We need to move that piano to the building. We got to move the baptistry to the building. We got to move the chairs to the building. We got to pick up a ping pong table. Amen. We have curtains that need to be made. Some of you ladies. You say, just like the ladies in the Bible. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought. We've got curtains that need to be made. Say, what are you talking about? Well, the baptistry, we're going to be able to set it up in the auditorium, have it there all the time. And right now, it's just kind of a frame that my dad built to be able to hold up that baptistry. We'd like to get a curtain around there to make it look a little more professional. This panel is going to be set up the way it should be set up, facing the congregation, where the pianist can actually look at the song leader without having to, do this. But the back of it, because we don't have unless somebody wants to just donate like a baby grand piano, that'd be appreciated. But obviously we have this upright piano, so the back of it will be facing the people, so we'll have to get a nice curtain or something there to cover that, make it look nice, matching with the baptistry. We've got shelves that need to be built. We've got counters that need to be made. We've got a whole lot of decorating, and a whole lot. There's plumbing that needs to be done. There's probably like 20 more things that need to be done. And you say, well, there's some little jobs here and there. Look, it's work that needs to be done, and it'll get done faster if everybody says, hey, well, you say, well, I can't sheetrock, but I can make a curtain. I can't, paint, but I can clean, or whatever it is. Whatever you say, well, I feel comfortable doing this, then do it. Show up. No one's gonna stop you. You say, well, I can offer this. Or maybe you say, well, what about the treasures, pastor? Is there something we can offer? Man, there's lots that need to be offered. That $320 we had in our building project fund, was ate up, the first half of day one. You know, because obviously, there's been a lot of expenses and things that the church needs to reimburse, because a lot of the church people have been buying stuff, and we're going to reimburse them for those, obviously. So, well, what do we need? And I'm giving you this list because, honestly, I don't expect you to be able to give something if you don't know what we need. And some of you may have some of this stuff laying around, and if you've got it and we don't have to buy it, praise the Lord for it. Saves the church money. So, well, what do we need, Pastor? Well, we need a wash basin or a deep stainless steel sink that we can install so we can be able to fill the baptistry. Does that sound like something spiritual? So we can drain the baptistry. We need sheetrock. We need lights and wall socket covers. We need insulation. We need the texture mud or putty to be able to texture the wall so they look nice. We need paint. We need, and you say, well, and here's what I'm saying. You can say, well, I'm going to give X amount of dollars. That's fine. Some of you may say, hey, Pastor, you know what? I'll just buy the paint. Just tell me what you need, and I'll buy it. You know, some of you, hey, you know what we need? We need a shop vac for the church to be able to clean that church on a regular basis. We need the trimming. Somebody could say, well, I'll buy the molding. You know, or I'll buy the baseboards, or I'll buy, you know, whatever. We need, we don't need wood for the platforms. Brother Hudson just told me that we've got that donated. Praise God. We need cloth and materials for the curtains, for the baptistry that I was talking about in the panel. We need to buy carpet. That's expensive. We need flooring for the bathroom. We need mirrors. We need soap dispensers. I mean, we're stepping it up. We're not in the house anymore. We're going to need soap dispensers. We're going to need paper towel dispensers. Just like a real church. I'm just kidding. We are a real church. You say, well, what else? We need a small refrigerator. You like your milk in the morning with your orange juice? You want, you know, milk that went bad? You know, it'd be nice to have like one of those little small refrigerators. And again, we'll buy it if we need to, but some of you may have three or four of those in the garage and say, you can have one. Praise God. We need a microwave. We need a nice couch or love seat to go in the mother baby room. A couple rocking chairs. You know, some of you can say, hey, Pastor, I'll buy a rocking chair from Walmart for the mother baby. So the moms can sit there with their babies and rock them back and forth and be able to listen. Man, if you haven't, I'm so excited about the mother baby room. You know how right now we have this camera set up and you got this little 19-inch screen that you watch the service through? Man, we've got a window bigger than this, right? About that big? For the mother baby room where the women can just sit in the mother baby room and their babies and just watch the service and just feel like they're part of it. And Lord willing, we'll be able to make a film that's double-sided so they can look out, but we can't look in. We need furniture for the foyer. We need decorations. We need lamps. I'm not gonna be preaching in a corner anymore, so we'll probably move the American flag to the side, which in order to balance things out, we might need another American flag, you know, just as nice as this one. We need signs for the front door and signs like these for the outside. There's a lot that can be done. I don't want you guys to say, well, they're almost done. Praise God. You know, there's things you can do. There's talents you've got and treasure you have that can help. And again, like I said, this type of sermon this morning is really just for the church family. I'm trying to bring you a need and tell you, look, there are things you can offer. There are things you can do. And if we all come together, it'll be easier for all of us to accomplish it. I said number one, you can offer your talents. I said number two, you can offer your treasures. But here's what you got to understand, okay? Here's the last point. How much talent you have and how much treasure you have means absolutely nothing if you don't offer your time. You say, well, I got a lot of talent. I can do this and I can do that and I can do it. And I'll build you this. But if you never show up, it does no good. Well, Pastor, I'm a millionaire. I can finance the whole thing. Yeah, but if you never write the check. You say, well, you've got the talent and you've got the treasure. But we need your time. Look at Exodus 35. Look at verse number 5. And like I said, I'm almost done. Exodus 35, 5. I know. Today is more like a Bible study. I'll yell more than tonight, okay? Exodus 35, look at verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a, notice this word, willing heart. Let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Skip down to verse number 21. Look what it says. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone. one whom His Spirit made willing. Notice that word. Whom His Spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all the service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were, notice this word, willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. He says they were willing. And you say, well, I don't have any money. Look, you want to bring us your old rings and stuff like that? Well, I'll take it to the pawn shop and get some money for that. That's fine. Look at verse number 29. The children of Israel, why don't you take it to the pawn shop and just give the money? How about that? Verse 29. And the children of Israel brought a willing, notice this word, willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them, notice this word, willing to bring for all the manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Go to chapter 36, look at verse number 1. And wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord commanded, had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. I want you to notice that it's not a coincidence that all throughout the story, God is telling us these people were willing, these people wanted to do it, their heart was in it. Look, let me tell you something. If your heart's not in it, and you're thinking to yourself, I don't want to give that church any more money, then keep your money. We could care less. Honestly, I'll tell you the honest truth. Keep your money. You say, well, I work all day. Woo-hoo. Join the club. And you expect me to give my time? Look, keep your time. Keep your talent. We don't need it. Because you know what this teaches me? Is that people whose heart's in it, and people who are willing to... I'm amazed. You know how much we've accomplished this week? And just by just putting random things... Just God has provided things, and God has given things. I mean, just stuff that we thought there was... You know, that's going to cost hundreds of dollars, and it just happened to, like... to already be in the building. You know what I'm talking about? You say, well, how does that happen? Because I believe that God blesses a heart that's willing. I believe that God blesses a heart that says, Pastor, I don't have much talent, but I'm offered to. I'm willing to give what I can. Remember, like we talked about with the van? It's like that young lad with the loaves and fishes. Let me show you one more verse. I'm done. Go with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, in your Old Testament, you've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, and then you've got the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, chapter number 4, we find another building project. The children of Israel have been taken into captivity, and God places it on Nehemiah's heart to come back to Israel and rebuild the wall for the city so that they can protect the people. And he gathered the people, and he almost did the same thing that they did in Exodus 35. He explained to them the need, and he explained to them what God, and God had done some miraculous things for him. And he said, let us rise up. The people said, let us rise up and build. And they got in it. But let me tell you something. The way that sanctuary got built in the wilderness, and the way that this wall got rebuilt. Let me tell you something. One day we'll study the book of Nehemiah. It's an amazing story. As they're building that wall, the enemy is attacking. They're literally, they got a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other hand, and they're building and battling at the same time. And you say, how were they able to accomplish that? Well, you know, they were given money. A king said, I'm going to help you be able to do this. And then the leaders of that area got a hold of that king and told him a bunch of lies, and then he cut them off. And with all that, all of that, you know, going on, and the opposition and the enemy trying to fight them. And you look at verse number 6, Nehemiah says, let me tell you something. He says, so built we the wall. I'm sure when he made that statement, that was a very great statement he was able to make. After all the labor and after all the work and after all the fighting and after all the opposition, after all the enemies were fighting, he said, we were able to get it done. He said, so built we the wall. And I just imagine him having a sigh of relief to think, it's done. But notice what he says. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Notice what he says. This is why I believe they got it done. For the people had a mind to work. How do you accomplish things, Pastor? When people Not one guy, not two guys, not three guys, but when people come together and they say, I've got a mind to work, I've got a mind to get this done, I've got talents I can offer, I've got treasures I can offer, and we all have time, we can offer.
The success of this building project is dependent on you. Let this be said of Berry Baptist Church, for the people
had a mind to work. Say, Pastor, are you going to be upset if you're not done by this week? I wouldn't be upset at all. But I really don't see any reason why we should be done this week. So, well, what will stop us from being done this week if people aren't willing to give their time? If people aren't willing to give their talents and their treasures? You say, well, Pastor, are you just trying to get this building because you want it for your church? And blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something. You get out on that building, you start working, you invest some sweat in that building, you're going to grow attached to that church. You're going to grow attached to that ministry. You're gonna get excited when you see that visitor that you invited out soul winning because then you want soul winning too, and that visitor shows up and he says, "Wow, this looks nice." You're gonna say, "Yeah, I know. You see that towel? I painted that one. No, not the yellow one, the white one. No." Your heart will get drawn to it. Because look, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to get us to do? I'm trying to get you to have a mind to work. Because we can get this done. And I'm excited about it. But look, you say, we're only halfway done. Amen. We got to finish it up. We got to keep going. We got to get going. We got to have a mind to work. You say, when are we working? Tomorrow morning. And when are we working again? Tuesday. And Wednesday and Thursday. You get with me. You ladies talk to my wife. You want to make a meal? Make a meal. You want to donate something? Donate something. You know, but let's just get done. Let's get to work. Let it be said of Verity Baptist Church. They, for the people, had a mind to work. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. Lord, I do ask that you would please bless our church. Lord, I know, compared to building projects that other ministries have gone through, ours is pretty minuscule. But for us, man, it's so exciting. And Lord, I know you're going to use this property and this building to be able to bless our people and bless our church and help us grow, Lord. But I wish that people would not miss out on the opportunity to invest in your work. It's a spiritual work. And they don't even have to open a Bible or go soul winning. All they have to do is pick up a hammer, pick up a broom. I pray you'd help our people to get a hold of the fact that they can offer, they can make a difference, they can help. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.